reason why we're working that out is because I'm a typical man. I can't do two things at once, okay? So I can speak, but operate the PowerPoint. Nah, that's a bit step too far. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and share with you today about the ministry and the mission of Christians Against Poverty. From what you've said and what you've prayed, and that was a brilliant prayer, thank you very much. You know, obviously there are quite a few people in the congregation who have got an idea, or quite an idea, about what CAP is all about. But I'm encouraged to speak with you today because, to be honest, when I get an engagement to go and talk to a church, do you know what I always do? Two things. It's terrible, isn't it? I go and check your website to see what you say and see what your pictures are, who's who. And then, this is the horrible bit, isn't it? As a former tax inspector, I go to the Charity Commission website and look at your accounts. Because, as my old pastor used to say, you can always tell somebody's motivation by what they spend their money on. So that does give me a little bit of background, you know. But I'm encouraged by carrying that exercise out, by your involvement with things outside of your own church, with the Huddersfield Welcome Food Bank, your commitment to pay 10% of your church income to works wider than your immediate sphere. And as the son of former missionaries to Africa, it's great that you've grasped that concept of practical Christian ethos, support with the BMS World Missions and also the Christian Africa Relief Trust. You know, that's me to a T. You know, if somebody comes to me with a problem, I'm not one of those people who sits down and says, there, let's have a cup of tea. It's like, right, how are we going to sort that out? You know, let's get to grips. And that's why I'm so much supporting of CAP, because to me, they're the greatest things in sliced bread as far as Christian ministry in our local communities is concerned. Now, a couple of years ago at a conference, this speaker got up. He was an old American gentleman who was an editor of a publication, and he said this. Listen carefully. I'm going to start by talking for 10 minutes before I say anything. Hopefully you won't think that's me, all right? I've been involved personally with CAP as a supporter, as a CAP money coach, helper exhibition stands at Christian exhibitions, and on the CAP national speaker team, because I'm just so sold out for what CAP does for people's lives. It not only brings practical help, but it brings the message of Jesus Christ as we share our personal faith. Not in a heavy-handed way, but when people ask, why are you doing this? Because Jesus says we should do it. It's a solidly Christian-based, biblical-based partnership with local churches, meeting people's practical needs whilst also sharing that love and saving power of Jesus. Slide one. We're there, right. Now, until very recently, we've probably not often talked about lament. Now, maybe we should. I don't know about you, but I've been very moved by everything surrounding the death of Queen Elizabeth II, the outpouring of affection and appreciation for her great service, the devotion she had, and a personal faith in Jesus that has sustained her through her life. You see, we as a nation seem to have been strangely stirred emotionally for someone who's been such a constant in our lives and yet who most of us never knew personally. Anybody here ever met the Queen? One. There you go. What percentage is that? I've met the Duke of Edinburgh a few times because I did the Duke of Edinburgh Award, but that doesn't really count, does it? But there were outpourings of emotions around our country, around the Commonwealth, around the world. And to refer to Justine Welby's sermon, our late Queen is now enjoying her eternal presence with her Maker, her God, whom she so faithfully served in her life. But, you know, we Brits have been known, haven't we, for our stoicism, our stiff upper lip. Though we can't probably put our fingers on it right now, we've been really emotionally affected, and we had to do something about the Queen's death. In 1939, at the start of World War II, the Ministry of Information designed a poster. It was very basic, just red and white with a crown on the top, and with five simple words. It said, keep calm and all together. A catchy slogan, a call to press on despite the impending war. Now maybe today we'd see slogans like, keep calm, join the queue. Keep calm, look for bargains. Keep calm, turn off social media. You know, whilst perseverance and resilience can be seen as essential qualities in response to difficulties, what about the times of anguish? How do we respond when our hearts are hurting in times of pain or feelings of injustice? God's way, we learn from the Bible, is lament. It's a heartfelt and a passionate cry of a hurting soul, perhaps unfamiliar to many. But perhaps even lament is even unfamiliar in the church. We regularly hear of praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. We often see in church notices the adverts for praise and thanksgiving services. When did we last see advertised a sorrow and grief service? Sorrow, perhaps, for a society turning away from God. Sorrow for a fractious society. Just think of the recent events that have been going on in Leicester. Sorrow for when standing on biblical truths means you get called a bigot. Sorrow for the social injustices in society. Sorrow for a society that seems to want to terminate thousands of babies in the womb and encourage older people to end their lives because they're no longer useful. The indirect message seems to be embrace joy but avoid sorrow. But what if we're supposed to embrace sorrow as well as joy as part of our Christian walk? You see, there are plenty of biblical accounts of people being moved. We see Jesus wept. The psalmist cried out. Prophets lamented. King David repented. Anyone ever been called a Jeremiah? Known as the weeping prophet because he tried most of his life to call the people of Israel to repent and live the life they were called to live in relationship with God. You could get called a Jeremiah when you try to be honest, perhaps puncture the bubble of human optimism about doing one's own thing without regard for anyone else. Slide two. We're there. My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed. UK poverty is a reason for us to lament. Slide three. Just look at some of these figures. 7 million adults missed meals in April 2022 due to rising costs, according to the Food Foundation. The energy cap still doesn't remove the constant worry of low-income families for heating their homes. The Joseph Rowntree Foundation reported that at the end of 2021, 3.8 million, it's easy to say it, but to try and think of how many people that is, that's half the population of London, 3.8 million people on the lowest incomes have fallen behind with their bills. You see, right now, there will be empty fridges, cupboards, even empty stomachs, women unable to afford basic sanitary products, parents who can't afford to heat their often damp and poorly insulated rented homes. My personal example of this that I've come across working with CAP is this. Just picture this. You've got a young single woman in her 30s. She's got three children. Sorry, I say a young single parent. Three children to feed. She's got £5 a week left to feed them all. She tries to be creative in feeding potatoes in various forms, chipped, roast, mashed, what's the other one, sautéed, I don't know how to do that. But anyway, different ways of trying to present potatoes to a meal for her kids, often with baked beans, day in, day out. She even resorted to eating tissue paper to fill up her tummy when there wasn't enough food to go around. That's in this country. You know, but behind all of these stats, there are real people, real lives, made and loved by God, and yet being failed in our society. At Christians Against Poverty, we want to stand alongside churches to lament for these distressing circumstances. But remember this, it's not God's purpose for lament to leave us in a place of darkness. We are to find hope in the middle of it all. Slide 4. Lamentations. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. CAP has the privilege of partnering with over 600 churches around the country to meet people in the middle of crises, people who are living in poverty. I'd like to introduce you now to a guy named Sid, who's kindly agreed to share his journey from lament to hope. Not that one. Hi, Angela. Nice to see you. This is why I don't get involved in tech. It's the biggest way to look a fool. Oh, sorry.
Looking back on it, it's actually quite frightening. And I'm not a guy that frightens easily, but that, looking back on it, it is actually quite frightening that he got to that point.
Hiya.
Oh, that's it.
You must be Becky.
Yeah,
nice to meet you.
This is your house.
Yes.
Yes, no problem.
Right.
Lovely to meet you. Can I do
you
a tea?
My name's Sid. I'm 58 years old. In my younger life, I was well into sport, cricket, rugby, boxing. Used to get paid for playing cricket and rugby. Actually playing cricket with Ian Botham, Graham Hick, Tom Moody, virtually half the England side were at Worcester at that time. I seriously injured myself, which meant that my sporting career was not over, but it would never be professional as I wanted it to be. I was still able to play a bit of village cricket. I actually had an accident at work and something fell on my head. And they took me up and gave me an X-ray. And this lovely little chap came through and he said, oh, we found something that's not there, not supposed to be there. And I went, oh, you mean a brain? And he said, no, you got a tumour. And I said, no, I'm indestructible, me, I don't get things like that. Can't happen to me. Brain tumour was operated on April 2015. Pretty much a year later, was diagnosed with Crohn's, which is a quite nasty stomach disorder. Admitted to hospital, and just before I was admitted to hospital, my mother passed away, who I've been looking after for a few years, quite suddenly as well. It turned out I was suffering from a very severe depression because of what had been going on. And obviously during that time as well, I was getting into debt without actually knowing I was getting into debt. I was on some quite heavy-duty medication, and it just spiralled. So pretty much everybody you could owe money to, I owed money to. The nurse came into the room and she said, can I get you anything? I said, no, just shut the door and let me die. I'd had enough. The will to fight it had just gone.
Thank you.
So they looked after me in hospital and fixed the broken bits again and got me up and running. And when I came out, someone referred me or said to me, if you've got problems, give these people a ring, and gave me a card. And when I got home is when I made the phone call to Cap. I tried to collect everything that was relevant to what was going on, so letters and bills and all the correspondence. And everything was explained, which puts you so much at ease because you actually, for the first time, know what's going on. And then Andrew said to me, I'll give you some, he actually gave me a load of prepaid envelopes. If anything comes, send this off to Cap. If they ask for anything, send this off to Cap. Here's an envelope, you don't have to worry about a stamp or anything. And for the first time, I think, crikey, there's a way out of this, you know. It was like a weight being lifted off my shoulders. Brilliant. That's when Andrew dropped the bombshell. Did you fancy coming to church on Sunday, Sid? So I said, no, all right, no, that'd be nice. That'd be nice, come along. And I turned up knowing two people, Andrew and Chris. When I left, 20 plus people, see you next week, Sid, have a good week, see you next week. I'm going, crikey, it's a bit different, isn't it? They're all very nice. That was 4 years ago, but maybe a bit longer. And apart from the times when I've been in hospital, I've not missed a Sunday. I see things totally differently now. My whole attitude is different now. I wake up every day, and every day is now a lovely day.
And to watch the transformation, both physically and spiritually, to sort of lifting the real Sid back into life. It's almost like a resurrection type thing. From where he was, to through the process, to where he is. Full of spirit, full of life.
He gets involved in all the meetings we do, our small groups, our worship Brilliant. Meetings, as well as our regular Sunday meetings. And we believe God is good and God can do things. And Sid is a testimony to that. So it's been a real delight and a pleasure for us.
Without Cap, Gary, Andrew and Chris and the church, I actually would rather not think about where I would be now. It really has made that much of a difference to my life. And unfortunately, with the current financial climate, it's with real sadness that I think Cap are only going to get busier. So people need to know that there are people out there who care, firstly, and secondly, can actually help. It's that sense of belonging and the sense of friendship. To me, it is priceless.
Adversity affects anyone. It doesn't have to take great catastrophic events to have one's life totally changed and turned around. Often it's a series of calamities, one on top of each other. If I may share with you my personal experience on this. In 1997, I had a really bad virus, as we all do. I returned to work after a couple of weeks, busying myself with career, family life, church life. Another 14 months on, I had to go off sick again with what appeared to be flu or something like it. Well, as the weeks dragged on to months, and to years. I still was too ill to return to work, and I was eventually diagnosed, now wait for this because I haven't said it for many years, with myalgic encephalomyelitis, we call it ME, chronic fatigue syndrome. I was unable to return to work, with my very patient employers eventually having to dispense with my services. So at the age of 45, I had no career, teenage children. My wife had to try and resume a teaching career after 17 years away, still with a mortgage, incapacity benefit, my only initial income. But I stand here today totally confident that just as our Lord did for me, he is able to do with us and to look after us in everything that we need. Fortunately, I didn't need CAP, but CAP steps in when people are at their lowest. Many clients have struggled for over 2 years before coming to CAP. They're desperate, they've lost their confidence, they often have suicidal feelings. It's spilled over into the family life. Do we have to turn this off? No. CAP's vision is threefold. We want to see lives transformed. We want to see thriving churches. We want to see an end to UK poverty. And Sid's example is a great one of transformation from despair as he battled depression, physical illness, bereavement, to a place of hope. A new family, clear debt, a relationship with Jesus, and now passing that hope on to others. Slide 7. Now, if Sid's story resonates with you, or you know of somebody who might be in a similar situation and need such help, then come pick up one of these cards at the back. It's got the free phone number in. Cheerio, Terry. Good to see you. So if anybody needs it, it's a confidential line, the first step to getting help. I've personally worked with a couple. They had 4 children. They were in debt. As CAP clients, they came to our church. The children got involved in all their activities. The family became Christians. They learned new budgeting skills. They worked towards becoming debt-free. And the guy used to love to come on the CAP money courses that I run in various places and share his experience. And, you know, I used to love to have him because there's nothing like having somebody who's been there and done it rather than me just telling people what they can do or how to do various things. I've worked with thriving churches bringing hope to people in debt, but also sharing about our personal faith and why we do what we do. Local churches, with the church members as frontline staff, each partnering with CAP in whatever way that they felt led to do. Helping those in problematic debt through the debt centre. There's one just 2 miles from here at Huddersfield Community Church. Or it can help people who are unemployed re-enter the job market with CAP job clubs. The two nearest to here are St. Luke's at Holbeck in Leeds, bit of a long way, isn't it? Or the Light Church in Bradford, which the AA route, Matt says, is about 10 miles away. Helping people learn how to better manage and organise their lives at CAP Life Skill Groups. The nearest to you, I say nearest, the Bramley Baptist Church in Leeds, Carmel Church in Hadfield Glossop, or East Oldham Methodist Church. Or you can help people better manage and organise their finances through the CAP Money Course, a very basic, straightforward, cringe-free way over 3 sessions of helping people be proactive and better organise their finances rather than just have to react to what's the bank account is showing. And in fact, there's an online course starting on the 7th of October, just miles from here. The postcode is HD92NJ, so somebody might know where roughly that is. But Sid's story provides hope that poverty can end, but it ends one life at a time. But there's always more to give. There are geographical gaps in the coverage of services. You've seen the examples I've just given you. Just shows we need more people, we need more churches to take on the ministry and the vision of CAP. Slide 8. If your church can prayerfully be part of this ministry, Can you be personally involved? I'd encourage you to prayerfully consider what you can do to help. You know, if you'd like to hear more and be kept up to date with CAP's progress as we partner with local churches, then please see those forms that I've scattered on your seats with the pens. It's the easiest way to lose pens, by the way. Just leave them on seats. Just look at those forms, and there's two things that I'd like you to consider. One, would you like to be receiving regular updates from CAP by post, email, text, or whatever method you choose, so you can prayerfully support CAP? It's not just about providing finances for CAP. We need prayer every day for the ministry of CAP. CAP is the only charity that I know that employs a full-time prayer manager, whose job it is to coordinate prayer amongst the supporters and amongst the employees. In fact, listen to this. 1/5 of the staff each day down tools for 45 minutes and gather together for a prayer meeting. They did carefully consider this and think, gosh, that's a lot of man hours that we're not devoting towards helping people. But in the end, they decided prayer was the better investment for that period of time. So, you know, it's all about prayer. Or perhaps, as I've been sharing, you've been stirred and say, well, what can I do? And I know this is a difficult time. I know this because each time I go shopping, yeah, I do the shopping for our house, by the way. You know, it's like, what? The milk's price has gone up again. You know, in a year, it's gone from £1.09 to £1.55. It might have even gone up again because I haven't been shopping for a week. But, you know, it's gone up. The pressure is on. But the thing is, we've got a great God who's never let any of us down, who can provide for us. And, you know, I'm a great one. I'm a former church treasurer for 25 years. And I learned over that time that you cannot outgive God, and that when God puts a burden on your heart, then he will provide a way for it to be achieved. So, you know, if you're feeling, well, maybe I would like to commit some finances per month, please sign this form and let me have it back, and Kat will sort that out for you. And thank you for Terry, who's just gone, because Terry, we had a chat before the meeting and he explained his circumstances. But, you know, he said, yeah, if there's anything I can do to help Cap, and I need to know. I said, fill the form in. We'll keep you informed so you can pray for us. He's got time. He can do it. As we get older, we can't quite do the things that we used to do, can we? Is it just me who has difficulty tying the shoelaces, you know? Or do we need the stairs a bit more? I've got grandchildren, and I couldn't do these last few years what I did with the six-year-old, what I could do with the nine-year-old. And we've got another one coming up for a year, and goodness knows how I'm going to be able to manage her. She's hard enough to pick up at the minute, you know. But this aging progress, aging is not for wimps, is it? No, but there you go. But there you go. God sustains us. God looks after us. And I found in my life that I cannot outgive God. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what God has done in my life. And just let me be clear. CAP never pays off anybody's debt who becomes a client. We always work with the client to work how they can get out of their debt. The expert debt advice at Bradford, provided by over 350 staff, supports the many hundreds of local church frontline staff who are mostly volunteers who locally help people in their journey out of debt whilst also sharing, when they're asked, about their personal faith in Jesus. Now, I said before, I'm a former church treasurer of 25 years, and I'd like to stress this. If you feel that you'd like to support CAP financially, then please make sure this commitment is over and above what you're currently supporting to your church. CAP does not want to rob the local church of its ministry, but we want to expand and give you the opportunity. If you'd like to come and see me at the end, then I'd love to give you a book. It's called Nevertheless. Some of you may have seen it before. It's taken from the personal diary of John Kirkby, the founder of CAP, back from 1996. And I'll tell you this story that I know about them. In the early days, when there were less than a dozen of them who were working there, it was an extremely faith-based ministry. In fact, when it came to payday, the financial controller used to come round to everybody and say, what's the minimum amount you need to pay your bills this month? Because we haven't got enough money, but we'll pay it when it comes in. And it was that scale of things. You know, it was an extreme faith-based ministry. We'd like to suggest £11.50. Can you afford £11.50? That's what it costs to take the initial call of someone who makes that first step, and sometimes with great trepidation, to the CAP free phone line. And do you know what their response, people say about that first call? They say, it was such a relief. I wasn't judged. I was encouraged. And the strap line is, there's always hope. If you feel you can do that and you're currently still a taxpayer, praise the Lord, you can increase the value of that gift just by making it under a gift aid. So effectively the charity gets back tax you've already paid. It doesn't cost you any more, but they're going to get back 25% basically of what you pay. So you sign up for £10 a month, CAP can get back another £2.50 until next April when the tax rate goes down. They get back another £2.50 from the government out of the tax you've already paid. If you feel moved but that's too much, don't worry. Every pound counts. Praise the Lord. Thank you for whatever support you'd like to get. But this book is such an encouragement. I'd love you to read it. But I don't want you just to take it as something to read for your recreation. Please take it as a tool that you can give to other people to help spread about the ministry and mission of CAP. So I'd like to thank you very much. You've been really an attentive congregation. I thank you for your time and your energy, and if you can manage it, your generosity. Can I close in prayer? Is that okay? Shall we pray then? I thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love to us, your creation. Thank you for the opportunity to come together in collective prayer, to lament for those suffering the rising costs of living. Give us strength for the testing days and months ahead. Please open our eyes, Lord, to those struggling in our own country, in our own locality. Lord, move our hearts into action to do your will. And I pray that we as your children will bring about your kingdom through our love, compassion, and actions. That, Lord, we as a church will be bold and empowered as we bring the love of Jesus to those in need. For those tormented by doubt, by worry, may they be guided by your light to step forward and find solutions to their problems and begin their journey from lament to hope. Bless us, Lord, as we go our separate ways from this place. Guide us and guard us and keep us in this coming week, that we might have the opportunity to share with others what you have done in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Amen.